Time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. With us today is Jonathan Ellis, reporter and columnist with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Jonathan, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Carl. Thank you.
Also with us on the line is Seth Tupper, publisher of the Mitchell Daily Republic. And Seth, it's nice to talk with you again as well.
You're welcome.
Well, South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says he'll examine the nominating petitions of two U.S. Senate candidates, Republican Annette Bosworth and Independent Clayton Walker. The investigations are at the request of Secretary of State Jason Gant, who forwarded issues of possible criminal activities to Jackley. Jonathan Ellis, do we know what Grant and Jackley's concerns are?
We do not know what these concerns are. Obviously, they're election-related, and so one would assume it has to do with the manner in which perhaps they were able to get petitions, signatures to get on the ballot. But no, they've been, the Attorney General has said that he is not going to release really any more specifics until after the June 3rd primary.
So we don't know if there's any connection to State Representative Steve Hickey's accusations earlier this week that Bosworth broke state and federal laws?
Well, yeah, those are sort of separate. I mean, they're potentially related. But the Attorney General was pretty specific yesterday in saying that what he's investigating right now with regard to those two candidates were those complaints come from Jason Gant, Secretary of State. So there are other issues that Representative Steve Hickey had brought up about Annette Bosworth a day or so before, which have to do with some of the campaign, you know, with campaign issues and also issues that go beyond the campaign. So the Attorney General was very specific yesterday in saying that that what he's focusing on has been brought to him by Jason Gant.
Seth Tupper, there's been quite a bit of, over the past several weeks, concern over petitions coming from a couple of different sources. I'm wondering if you find this rather unusual or what the reason is for all this concern over these petitions.
Well, it's not necessarily unusual. It seems like, you know, you're always having people question, you know, are somebody's petitions legitimate? I guess it's just part of any edge you can get on a candidate. You take it, and if you think somebody's nominating petitions aren't legitimate, you raise those questions to gain that edge. One of the things I find most interesting about this is, Attorney General Marty Jackley saying that, basically nothing's going to come out of these election-related criminal allegations until after the election, saying that really there's not enough time to conclude an investigation and that he doesn't want the investigation to determine the winner of the election, that voters should do that. Well, what if one of these candidates that are under investigation would win the primary and go on to win the general election, and then we find out that their petitions weren't valid? Would they have to be thrown out of office then? I mean, that raises all kinds of interesting questions. I was somewhat surprised that the Attorney General would be so quick to say that, you know, nothing's going to be finalized or announced until after the election. It seemed to me that if there's a question of whether somebody's on the ballot legitimately, you'd want them, I guess the ballots, you know, I don't know if there's even time to do that, but you'd kind of want to take care of that before the election, you would think. But anyway, it does add a whole level of intrigue to everything that makes the race more interesting.
Jonathan Ellis, do you find that surprising as well, the possibility that, what will happen if one of these petitions is deemed illegitimate and they win the primary?
This applies to Annette Bosworth. For one thing, I guess we have to, I think what Marty is trying to do is walk a delicate line here. I mean, you on one hand, you don't want to influence the election in some way, in a negative way, and that's pretty well established, not just here but in other places. And so this is, and you have to ask yourself then, what's the violation? If there were some kind of violation in getting these petitions, you know, what is it? It's probably just a misdemeanor. So it's an interesting question, and I think that the Attorney General has basically said yesterday specifically that he doesn't want this investigation to influence the election. And you can look at it in different ways. I mean, Seth has a good point. What happens if you find out that later on, after somebody won an election, that these were illegitimate? On another level too, you make the argument that if people would use accusations of criminal behavior much more often, I suppose, to try to derail other candidates, if in fact the prosecutors were really aggressive in investigating those before an election. So, it's different ways of looking at this issue.
But Jonathan, why is it that Steve Hickey has gotten involved in this controversy over the Bosworth petitions?
Well, that's interesting. I think, if you were to evaluate the Republican field, I would venture to say that I think that Annette Bosworth has probably campaigned most fervently as sort of a social conservative, okay? And I think that Steve Hickey is certainly, at least in some areas, a social conservative as well. And so it's interesting to me that he is going after her. And I have not, I'll be honest, I have not talked to Steve Hickey about this issue. Why? But they're clearly... There are some people, some Republicans, who just don't feel that she's a genuine candidate. She's genuine in her beliefs. And perhaps that's one reason why he's motivated. But, some people have come to Steve Hickey with some information, and, he as he said, he's thought it should be turned over to authorities.
Well, both Steve Hickey and Annette Bosworth made national news this past week with some comments, I guess, probably fit in the social conservative side of things. Statements posted online, Bosworth was criticized for comparing the food stamp program to wild animals becoming dependent on human food. And Hickey got some attention for a Facebook post in which he called on medical doctors to condemn gay sex. Seth Tupper, why do you think statements like these from local and state politicians are making national news?
Well, that's where you hit it right there, is because one is an elected office holder, Steve Hickey, and the other is a candidate for Senate. If Annette Bosworth wasn't a candidate for Senate, something stupid she says on Facebook wouldn't be news. But it is interesting as people in the news business to watch all this unfold, the social media world that we're living in, that, somebody can just sit down and write something on Facebook, maybe thinking about it deeply or maybe just throwing it out there and not giving it much thought, and then all of a sudden, it sends reporters everywhere scurrying to write stories about it. And, I struggle with that sometimes as somebody in the news business, is how much are we getting our strings pulled by people just writing things on Facebook that they know will cause us to write stories about them and get their name out there and bring them more coverage. And it is odd. I mean, if Annette Bosworth loses the June primary in July when she says something crazy on Facebook, nobody will care, or a few people will, but not nearly as many. And so it's just kind of a, like I said, a product of the social media world that we inhabit now. And and because they have a status of being either an office holder or a candidate, they have a platform and people are interested in what they're saying.
So Seth Tupper, social media changing not only how we cover these people, but also campaigning itself, the way candidates run their campaigns?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at all the, some would say it's bad publicity, but in a primary, when you're speaking to a certain segment of a political party, you could argue it's good publicity. But either way, I mean, look at all the publicity that Annette Bosworth has gotten out of all of these stories, and look at the publicity Steve Hickey got out of the coverage of his Facebook comments, and the way that probably endeared him to his most ardent supporters. It certainly hardened opposition against him as well, but he's had his name out there a lot, and he wouldn't have otherwise had that.
So the supporters, people that agree with them, pretty much maybe saying go, right on, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially, if you go look at his Facebook post, you see a lot of people posting comments on there, his post about homosexuals and things. People, going on there and cheering him on. And so, with that base of people that you know, think the same way that he does and are his supporters, I think that helps him. And then the fact that it's spread more widely through the media, through the coverage of what he said on Facebook, spreads it even wider and can bring him an even bigger audience than he has just on Facebook. So it, in a way, it's free campaign advertising sometimes. At the same time, we're sort of duty-bound as journalists to cover it because the things that candidates say and political officers say our news, especially when they're controversial. But so it has changed campaigns, I think, quite a bit, and we're seeing that unfold right before our eyes.
Representative Hickey appeared on the Argus Leader's online video discussion show, 100 Eyes, on Monday. Jonathan Ellis, did he, in that appearance, clarify anything with his comments that he made on Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, he stuck to what he's, you know, his main premise is that, you know, he says that medical doctors should condemn gay sex because there are some implicit you know, health concerns with that. What he did back away from was sort of the analogy he used to describe that, and he, you know, I guess would have chosen his words more carefully, but, you know, he's not backed away from his basic premise that, you know, that it's not healthy. And I'd like to, one other thing that, you know, Seth mentioned, mm-hmm. social media, and that's, that, you know, going back to the way this stuff unfolds now, social media is a big deal. And, you know, we all, you know, in addition to social media, there's 24 hours news now. I mean, whether it's cable TV or, you know, newspaper internet sites anymore or whatever. And so this stuff is covered quickly now. Social media certainly helped that. And, you know, there's because it's a 24-hour news cycle, you know, there's only so many planes that disappear every year, right? I mean, so, I mean, it's stuff has got to be filled with it. And, you know, and it's besides not just the news angle on this, but it's also, you know, the social media, when somebody does say something that's a little off, maybe slightly offensive or whatever, I mean, it's unleashed these sort of mobs to go attack people, you know, and so it's been very interesting to watch how, you know, things on Twitter or other social media, how these are evolving, because, I mean, really, somebody says something that maybe they, you know, would have, you know, taken back, or something that could even, you know, not even be controversial, but be taken out of context, and the next thing you know, you've got just mobs of people, you know, they're just beating up on them. So it's been fascinating to watch how all of this plays out.
All playing out in what's becoming a rather interesting Senate race. 9 candidates seeking the seat currently held by Democrat Tim Johnson, who's retiring at the end of his term. 5 Republicans, 1 Democrat, 3 Independents. It's been more than 80 years since so many candidates have appeared on the ballot for South Dakota's U.S. Senate race. Seth Tupper, why so many candidates running this year? Simply because there's an open seat here, or is something else going on?
Well, part of it for sure is that, yeah, I mean, Senate seats just don't open up all the time. You know, senators serve a 6-year term, and usually you're going to have an incumbent running for that seat. You know, and so for a longtime senator to be retiring and stepping away willingly, it's kind of a unique situation, and one we probably wouldn't have if Tim Johnson hadn't had some health issues that probably maybe forced him to walk away sooner than he otherwise maybe would have wanted to. So it's a unique opportunity. It's you know, for some people, maybe they view it as a once in a lifetime chance to go after a seat where, you know, there's no incumbent, and especially for Republicans, they view it as a chance to capture a seat that's been held by a Democrat for a lot of years. And so you know, for the ambitious people out there that are looking to run for office, it's an enticing opportunity and one that they figure they may never have again.
Well, the winner of the June 3rd Republican primary will face Democrat Rick Wyland and the 3 independents, 2 of whom are former Republicans, Gordon Howey and former Senator Larry Pressler. That brings up an interesting, you know, some possibilities in November. You talk about that it seemed like the Republicans were the obvious winners, Republicans were going to gain this seat, the South Dakota seat. But do you think, Jonathan Ellis, that Gordon Howey and Larry Pressler could take votes away from the Republican nominee? Votes to make a difference?
Well, I don't know at this point if it's enough votes to make a difference. But, you know, I think that potentially, I mean, you know, we talk about how it would affect Mike Rounds. I think potentially Larry Pressler's entry as an independent would could take votes away from Rick Wyland as well. I mean, if you look at the people who are backing Larry Pressler, there's a mix of Democrats and Republicans, and you have to, you know, Rick Wyland is running as a progressive Democrat in this race, and Larry Pressler is more of a, sort of a middle of the road moderate. You know, there are some more moderate Democrats who would have, you know, liked to have supported somebody like a Stephanie Hirsch-Salin, who maybe aren't going to support a Rick Wyland and would therefore be, you know, willing to vote for Larry Pressler. You know, you look at Gordon Howey, and this gets back to something you mentioned about all the candidates and the fact that it's an open seat. Yeah, that's one reason. But this is the first opportunity, really, in South Dakota where, you know, we've seen this nationally in the last couple of cycles, where you've seen on the Republican side, you know, sort of conservative candidates, Tea Party-esque candidates coming out of nowhere and actually winning and beating the establishment candidates. So this is the first test where this has happened in other states. I mean, I look at Deb Fischer. You know, she won the Senate seat in Nebraska in the last cycle, and she beat two establishment candidates. So I think what we're seeing is sort of, in terms of all these additional candidates, I think we've seen that play out in some other states as well. And Gordon Howey, going back to, you know, Gordon Howey, he has the potential to, you know, pick up a certain percentage of votes that, you know, that some of the people in the primary now, Republican primary now, if they don't win, those supporters could go to Gordon Howey. So, you know, what did he get? When he ran for governor, he got about 10%. And there were some polls that showed him closer to 20% before there were some issues that came out with, you know, regarding him and some tax issues. So he's got the potential to pull away some votes from Rounds. But I think also that, and so does Larry Pressler, but I think that when you look at Pressler, I think he's going to take votes from both candidates.
Seth Tupper, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that's sort of what makes Pressler fascinating is, you know, no matter what he does, or how well he does, he's probably going to have some impact on the race, because if you presume that Rounds is going to be the Republican nominee, and of course Wyland doesn't have any opposition, so he is the Democratic nominee. You know, if that's what happens, and if it becomes competitive, then, you know, Larry Pressler, even doing poorly, could still swing it one way or the other, depending on how close the race is between other candidates. And you know, so I mean, you know, those minor party or independent candidates, they sometimes don't have to do very well at all, and yet still they can swing an election just by their very presence, even swinging a few percentage points in a close race. So it'll be, you know, yet another thing that'll make this this race worth watching when it comes down to the fall.